Yep, go right ahead. Amen. Good job. They call that the kenosis passage, by the way. The kenosis passage, the underlying Greek word there. Okay, you can look that up later. All right, Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. All right. And Mr. Henry, if you could show that slide, it's under Wednesday night on the playlist. I've actually got a title slide in there. If you could put that up there. So here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to bring to you a little message tonight entitled Trouble. Trouble. And many this week have been dealing with some complex troubles. Can I get an amen to that? All right. Some of us are experiencing illness. There's many out that are sick tonight. Some of us have lost loved ones. We lost two just this week. Some have had marital difficulties or family difficulties. Some folks have perhaps had problems with their jobs. Maybe for some of you younger folks, maybe you had some problems at school. But the list could go on and on and on. Let me just take a short poll here. How many of us have experienced some trouble this week? Raise your hand. Any kind of trouble. Okay. I thought that might be the case. That's, I think, 100% across the board. And so we can come here tonight, though, and I want to bring this to you and find some comfort in the Scriptures. Okay? I was told that the Sunday night message, in somebody's words, was heavy, was what they kept saying. Boy, this is heavy. Tonight's not going to be heavy. This is hopefully going to lift you up and encourage you, and that's my intentions, okay? But some of us have had some catastrophic troubles this week. But the good thing is we can go to the Bible and get some comfort from God's Word. We can look into God's Word and find which truth we need to meditate on. We can look into God's Word and we can understand the course, the natural course of the Christian life. And also we can get the answers as to why. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and try to explain to you why everything happens. I don't have those kinds of answers, but I do have some answers out of God's Word that will give us the help that we need in dealing with, guess what? Troubles. And so it's a wonderful thing. I can't imagine. I tried to think in my heart and my mind what it must be like not to have the Bible, or what it must be like not to be saved. And to have that comfort and that hope and that assurance and be able to open up the Bible and understand what I'm reading and it provides some measure of help for me. I can't imagine what that must be like. And so we're going to open up the Word of God in this particular passage, and I'm going to give you some things tonight. And I think if you'll write them down and look at them and look at this passage, it'll be a help to you, okay? And so we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. We don't normally do that on Wednesday, but we're going to 7 through 18, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. Father, we feel even as if this sign is up on the screen, warning trouble ahead. When we think about that, we think about all the trouble that took place this week. And Father, you know what it is to live in this old sin-cursed world. Father, you know the infirmity of our flesh. Father, you know in each one of our lives all the circumstances that we've dealt with this week. Father, with illnesses, with loss of loved ones, with issues at work, with issues at school, with issues in our families, and the list could go on. And so, Father, we're begging you tonight, Lord, through the great work of the Holy Spirit of God, that you'd apply these truths to our heart. And Father, help us to walk out with our heads hung high because we have some great hope that we find in this very passage. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, again, by way of introduction, there's just been so many things that have taken place this week. And Pastor, of course, let me know that he was sick. He wasn't going to be able to be here. And so I'm looking around and praying and asking the Lord to direct me. Where do I go? Where do I go? And I was thinking at first that I'd be talking about our personal testimony. That was my first inclination. I went there, opened up the Word of God, started to try and outline some things out of a particular passage, and guess what? Nothing. And nothing was going on. I knew immediately, no, this isn't where the Lord would have us to be. And boy, what immediately came to mind is all the tribulation and turmoil and things that have been going on this week. I mentioned it already. Y'all who have been praying for Rhonda Eason, she passed away. She went on to be with the Lord after a long struggle, and we thank you for your prayer. So that's two in my family this week, just that fast. And listen, even though I study the Word of God, even though I live in the Word of God and these things, man, it shakes me up, and it shakes me up. And I know I have the infirmity of flesh just like you do. And so this passage right here has been a help to me, and I pray it be a help to you. So if you're taking notes, I want to give you a few things tonight. First of all, the treasure in earthen vessels. Verse number 7, please. I'll look at verse number 7, the treasure in earthen vessels. Notice what it says there in our text. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And of course, you can see where I got that point from is actually the words of the Bible. Now, let me just give you a free thought here. This has nothing to do with the lesson tonight. But if you teach the Bible, here's what you need to do is just take the Bible to teach the Bible, okay? Take the way the Bible says things and teach people based on that. Now, oftentimes you'll see us alliterate points out and give synonyms alliterated when we're trying to teach folks. But listen, the best thing to teach the Bible is the Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture. And I tell that to you because guess what? We have a severe lack of biblical language in our day. And I'm just trying to help you. Use what the Bible says. The Bible's got some very sharp words in certain things. And we try and skirt the issues and use softer words. And we just need to use Bible words, okay? So the first point is this, the treasure in earthen vessels. Every child of God, that is somebody who is saved, somebody who is born again, has this treasure inside of themselves. I want you to understand that if you're a child of God, that means you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what he did for you on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. If you have been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, born of both water, that means physically, and of the Spirit, that means spiritually, you have a treasure inside of yourself. That earthen vessel that it speaks of is talking about your body, okay? It's talking about your physical body, that earthen vessel, that temporal vessel. In other words, what Paul is saying is we have a treasure, something of great value inside of us. Did you understand that as a child of God tonight when you walk through the doors? You have a treasure inside of you. And I think we forget this sometime. We forget what God has given to us. And I want to explain to you exactly what that treasure is, okay? I'm going to give you three things. First of all, that treasure is the gospel. The gospel, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the good news. That is part of the treasure that is within us. Romans 1, verse 16, that famous verse that Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And he says, "Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, let me illustrate this to you by Jesus' words. Jesus, in talking about the gospel message, here's what he says. He says, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and," guess what, "lose his own soul?" Or he puts it this way, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Just think about that for a minute. How much money would you give for your own soul? What property would you give for your own soul? What wealth would you provide to pay for your own soul? I'll tell you what you would. Nothing, because none of it would be sufficient. Because the soul is of far greater value than you can even calculate. And so we think about that, and Jesus is saying, listen, this gospel message, this that you've been told. By the way, don't take it for granted that you heard the gospel. Listen, there's places, far from places in this world, where they still haven't heard about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's other places in this world you could have grown up and never heard the name of Jesus at all, but been taught some false cult or some false religion. And my friend, you and I are so richly blessed to be in a country where we can come into a church house and hear about Jesus Christ, him crucified, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. We're so blessed to be able to open up the Word of God. And I pray that you have a true understanding of that. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, we find this out, that the gospel to others is foolishness, but to us that are saved, it's the power of God. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish," or in other words, those that reject the good news, "to them it is foolishness, but unto us which are saved," in other words, the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, "to us it is the power of God." It's the sweetest words we've ever heard. I'll put it that way. And so in our this treasure that we have is certainly this. It is the gospel message, understanding Jesus Christ, him crucified, him raised again from the dead. And so take heart in that. Number two, also, this treasure is the indwelling presence of God. The indwelling presence of God. Did you ever think about that for just a moment? The indwelling presence of God. God has given us of his Spirit. He dwells inside of us, bears witness with our spirit. Think of that for a minute. We're not just talking about anything here. We're talking about the creator of the universe, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Almighty God. Think about how wonderful that is. You talk about a treasure. Boy, knowledge of God and his presence. What a wonderful thing. John 14, verse 26 puts it this way. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said to you." And oftentimes we look at that verse and we focus in on the teaching of truth. We focus on bringing the things to remembrance, and we forget what the Holy Spirit of God is called. And that is, guess what? What's that big C word? Comforter. Comforter. My friend, when troubles come around, aren't you glad that you have the Comforter? Aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling inside of you? Now, that's a wonderful truth, and oftentimes we just flippantly forget about that. But listen, God is living inside of me. Man, what an awesome truth. John 15, 26, one chapter later, says this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And so we find in here that not only is he the Comforter, he provides peace and hope and help for us, but also he helps us to understand the truth. I mean, we can look in our Bibles and mine out the Scriptures and have great understanding of this comfort from the Bible, because guess what? The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians 1:22 tells us also, "Who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of his Spirit." We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He is the seal, by the way. Praise the Lord for that. And so that earnest, of course, means down payment. So, of course, we have the treasure of the gospel. We have the treasure of the indwelling presence of God. And then also within this treasure thing, we have the treasure is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. You'll notice in the Bible, oftentimes you'll hear the Spirit of God, you'll hear the Holy Ghost, but then in a few select places you'll see this phrase, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. As a matter of fact, Romans 8 and verse number 9 is one of those places, and it says this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man, notice this, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." When you talk about this Spirit of Jesus Christ, here's what we're referring to. We're referring to the operation of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, acting like Jesus, being like Jesus. Who here wants to be like Jesus? Raise your hand. I hope it's every one of you. Listen, I desire to be like Jesus. I desire to be conformed to that image. I desire to act as he acts. Listen, when problems come around, I want to be exactly like Jesus was. And listen, because of the Spirit of Christ, really the Holy Spirit working in us to sanctify us, we're conformed to that image of Jesus Christ. We're moved farther down that path of sanctification. We're learning and growing, and I pray you're maturing as we have the Spirit of Christ. And so we think about this treasure in our earthen vessels. The first thing Paul brings out in the times of trouble is, look, understand what God has given you, is really what he's saying. He's telling you, look, you have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Well, number two, not only do we have the treasure in earthen vessels, we have number two, the trouble on every side. Notice there in verse number 8 and verse number 9. Now, here we have in 8 and 9, I'm kind of teaching and preaching at the same time, okay? You with me? Here we have a list. Now, who has ever seen a list in the Bible before? Somebody name a list for me. Name one a list. The easy one is probably the fruits of the Spirit. I was thinking the same thing this afternoon. The fruits of the Spirit, that is a list, right? What else? Spiritual gifts. There's a list of spiritual gifts, and you'll find these lists all throughout scriptures. Oftentimes, they'll start out in a sentence, and they'll list them right succinct in order. This is a list also, but it's a little bit different. It's a list where it has one item, and then it has an opposing item, and then it has another item and an opposing item. Listen, those things are grouped together on purpose. And so when you're studying the Word of God, look for lists. Look at the order of the list. Look at what's being said there in those lists. If it's opposing, if it's talking, one thing versus another. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's look at this list right here. Notice the list here. Paul starts out, verse number 8. What is the first thing he says? We are what? Troubled on where? Every side. Paul is saying this. I've got lots of trouble going on. Hey, listen, aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't like sugarcoat it? But here Paul's saying, look, this spiritual man, he's saying, man, I've got all kinds of problems. I got troubles all around me. But then what does he say with that list? He said, I've got trouble on every side, yet what? Not distressed. All right, in other words, he's saying this. Let's put it in our vernacular. Here it is. He knows who's in charge. He knows who's in charge. I want you to remember that. He says, look, I've got troubles on every side. I'm not diminishing that. But I'm not what? Distressed. In other words, why? Because I know who's in charge. Let's look at the second part of the list. What does it say? We are what? Perplexed. But then what's the other part? Not in despair. So do you see the opposition here? He says, look, when I look out and I see all these troubles, I see all these problems, I'm troubled on every side, I'm looking at it, it makes no sense to me. How many have been there before? You're wondering, what in the world is going on? I'm a Christian. I'm doing the right things. I'm looking out. There's trouble everywhere, and it just doesn't make sense. This is what Paul's expressing. He says, I'm perplexed, but then what does he say? But not in despair. Here's what he's saying. I don't understand it all, but I trust God. All right? I don't understand it all, but I trust God. Okay, let's continue on in our list here. Verse number 9. What does he say there? Persecuted, but then what's the opposing? not forsaken. Here's what Paul's saying. Man, they keep attacking. It just doesn't stop. I'm persecuted. I'm doing the right things. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm going to the far-flung ends of the earth. I'm doing everything God has asked me to do. And guess what I get for it? Persecution. But then what does he say in opposition to that? But not forsaken. Can you say it this way? God is with me. God is with me. You remember that treasure in the earthen vessel we talked about, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God? God is with me. And so he's saying, look, I'm being persecuted, but guess what? God's with me. Now let's look at the last one there. What does it say? Verse number 9. Cast down, but not destroyed. Do you think Paul had some problems sometimes? Do you think Paul got a little woe is me sometimes? Hey, listen, I hope you don't read the Bible with rose-colored lenses and think that Paul was just, boom, man, things are bouncing off of him, man, problems are coming, I'm like Superman. No, that's not the picture that's depicted here. Listen, Paul was beat down. He was pushed down under this load. That's what it's talking about. He's cast down. But he says this, but I'm not what? Destroyed. Now let me sum it up for you this way. This is just my words here. God has protected me from utter destruction. God has protected me from utter destruction. By the way, you can say all of those things for every person that's walked in here today. If you're a child of God, those same things that Paul is listing here in dealing with his troubles, you can say the same thing as well. You know why? Paul didn't have any more of God than you do if you're saved. You got the same amount. Okay? There's not differing levels. You get one level for a pastor, you get a little bit more of God than somebody else. No, it doesn't work that way. God is not a respecter of persons, my friend. Let's practice this together. We're going to put these together. Y'all repeat after me. I know who is in charge. Now, let's put a little more gusto into it, okay? I know who is in charge. All right. Hey, this isn't any look in the mirror self-help stuff, all right? This is Bible, okay? This is Bible, all right? I know who's in charge. So there we go. All right, number 2. I don't understand it, but I trust God. All right. Hey, we got to say these things like we mean them, right? All right. Number 3. God is with me. Hey, if you've asked Jesus to save you, you can say this. If you have not asked Jesus to save you, you can't say this. And I'm serious about that. But here's the good news. You can come talk to me or somebody else tonight. We can show you in the Bible how you can be able to say, God is with me. Okay? And so we see here, God is with me. And then the last one, all right, you ready for this? God has protected me from utter destruction. God has protected me from utter destruction. Praise the Lord. By the way, even if you lost your physical life, God has still protected you from utter destruction. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, Steve, he had a testimony of loving Jesus Christ. He asked Jesus to be his Savior. You know what? Steve is in heaven right now. Okay? Praise the Lord. You know, I understand the infirmity of flesh. Nobody wants to have physical pain. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to see somebody gradually descend physically. Nobody wants to see that, and that's normal, by the way. God built that into us. But listen, God has protected you from utter destruction. Praise the Lord for that, okay? All right, so we see the trouble on every side. We see the treasure in earthen vessels. Number 3, if I can still be a help, the tracing of Jesus' steps. The tracing of Jesus' steps. Let's look at verse number 10. Paul continues on. He says, I have a treasure in earthen vessels. Number 2, he says that we have trouble on every side, but praise the Lord, God's in it for us. Verse number 10, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In these few verses, 10 through 12, Paul is now tracing the steps of Jesus. He is tracing the steps of Jesus' life. He's tracing the steps of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. He's talking about what Jesus came to this earth to do. In other words, we could say Paul is mentioning the purpose of Christ. The purpose of Christ. He's speaking of Jesus Christ's purpose here on this earth. You know what his purpose was? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me ask you this. How did he seek and save that which was lost? What did he do? He lived his life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And then he ascended back to the Father. My friend, that's how he seeks to save that which was lost. He provided the propitiation for our sins. He provided the atonement. He preached the gospel the whole time he was here. He trained the disciples, laid the foundation for the gospels to go to the uttermost parts of the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost by his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. So Paul is basically saying this is that I am tracing Jesus' steps. I'm walking in his steps. Romans 4 and verse 25 puts it this way. Jesus is who they're talking about here, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay? And so we see the tracing of Jesus' steps. So the purpose of Christ, but then Paul makes note in the latter part of verse number 10, all the way down through verse number 12, the purpose then of Paul. Notice what it says here. The second part of that verse, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest in our body. Let me ask you the question, million-dollar question, one of you teenagers who's brilliant. What does manifest mean? Man, if this is Jeopardy, you're going to run out of time. What's that? I'm trying to get there for you, but I don't know that I can get dwell up there for you. Okay? You're close. I think I know where you're going with that. Manifest. To be apparent. To be made known. To be shown. So let's look at it again. Let's see what that verse says one more time. It says in verse number 10, verse number 10 there, always bearing about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made, what was that word you said? Apparent, right? In our body. Okay? Here's what Paul's saying. I'm tracing Jesus' steps, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. I see everything that Jesus went through. I understand what he did in this world. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And guess what Paul's doing now? He's walking in his steps. Now, young folks, you ever heard of this thing called ghosting? Who? You have? All right, can I borrow you for a second? I'm not going to embarrass you. Don't worry. Come on up. It's real simple. All I'm going to ask you to do is walk. This is called ghosting. By the way, don't do this. You could get in trouble for doing this, okay? Don't say, Pastor James taught me how to ghost, and that's what I'm doing. Don't do that, okay? Now, you're going to face that way. Don't look at me, and you just walk that way, okay? Okay, very good. Good job. Give him a hand. That is called ghosting. What people will do, they'll get up behind somebody. That's good. We're good, man. Thank you so much. Hey, appreciate you. He had no idea what I was doing. Your mom can tell you later. But listen, ghosting is when you get behind somebody, you walk in their steps. You know what we're supposed to be doing, Christian? The purpose, he's traced the purpose of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And now, guess what Paul's doing? He's walking in his footsteps. Let me ask the question, did Jesus have any kind of affliction or suffering at all? A little bit. So why in the world would we not think any different? If we're a little Christ, that's what Christian means, right? A little Christ or a disciple of Christ is someone, a follower, a hearer of another's doctrine, an actual doer of the Word of God. If we're going to walk the same way that Jesus walked, guess what's going to come? Problems. Okay? And so listen, this is what Paul's saying. He says, look, we have this vessel, this treasure in earthen vessels. We've got trouble on every side. Now Paul is tracing the steps of Jesus. You see there? Paul's estimation of what his life is about could be summed up in one name, Jesus Christ. We are to live our lives displaying the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're a Christian, that's what your life is about. It's not about the job you work. It's not about all the other peripheral stuff. It's about Jesus Christ, okay? That's what it's about. And so if I'm living a life displaying Christ, we can expect some suffering to go along with that, okay? And so we have the treasure in earthen vessels, the troubles on every side, the tracing of Jesus' steps. Number four, and I'm going quickly, the tremendous glorifying of God. The tremendous glorifying of God. Look at verse number 13, please. We're working our way down through this passage. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Here we have, Paul is mentioning the tremendous glorifying of God. I want you to take this home with you, that us as Christians, you know what we're doing here on this earth? Glorifying God. In our good times, guess what we're doing? It's a real simple test. In the good times, guess what we're doing? In the not so good times, what are we doing? And in the great times when things are just going wonderfully, guess what we're doing? Or supposed to be doing, glorifying. In the really, really, really difficult times, we get it? Now, notice what he says here. Here's how he proves this. He says, look, we have the same spirit of faith. Here's what he's saying. We have the common ground in Jesus Christ. We all have the same spirit of faith. Tiana, you and I don't look the same. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Because you're saved, we have the same spirit of faith. The Holy Spirit of God resides inside of me just like he does inside of you. That common ground is Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. We're going to spend eternity in heaven one day. Praise the Lord. We have a common ground, the same spirit of faith. You know what that means? That means there should be a strong unity among believers. Should be a strong unity among believers. The verse that Paul is referencing here is Psalm 116, verse number 10. It's interesting how he quotes this verse, and I'm going to quote the entire verse. You ready? Psalm 116, 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. Here's what the psalmist is saying. I believed. I asked Jesus to save me. I trusted in Christ. In his case, he was looking forward to the Messiah. He said, therefore, I have spoken. In other words, I did not keep quiet. I opened my mouth. I told others about Jesus. I walked the life that I should walk. I'm walking, tracing in his steps. And because of that, I was afflicted. I believe, therefore have I spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. Belief necessitates a speaking of the gospel in both life and speech. Belief in Jesus Christ necessitates a speaking of the gospel in both our life, how we live, and what we say. And here Paul is saying we have been given the same spirit. There should be a strong unity among us. And then also we should understand this. We're all in the same predicament. It's not, I'm the only one suffering. I'm the only one. And did anybody happen to look around when we were raising hands when I said, who had troubles this week? You understand, everybody raised their hand. My friend, we're in this thing together, is what I'm telling you. We're in this thing together. Listen, we're going to continue in this thing together. Why? Because we have that common ground in Jesus Christ. Man, we're going to lock arms. We're going to move forward for Jesus Christ. For what he has for us here at Sharon Baptist Church, we're going to move right forward and continue to do what we're asked to do. Why? Because of this tremendous same spirit of faith. Also, number two, we have the same resurrection. Look in verse number 14. Verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you for all things or for your sakes. My friend, in case you didn't know it or not, we're all going to experience the same resurrection. Now, I understand there's different components of the rapture, where those who are alive and remain shall be caught up. We won't prevent those whose bodies are already in the ground. They'll come up out of the ground. I understand that, but what it's saying here is we've got two resurrections. You can see it in John 5. I'll read it here in just a minute. You have the resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto, guess what? Damnation. We all of us here, in one form or fashion, will participate in the resurrection unto life. We're going to. We all have that same common ground. We have the same spirit of faith. Guess what? Just as Jesus was raised, guess what? We're going to be raised too. You can mark it down. That's a wonderful truth to know. John chapter number 5 says, "Verily I say unto you," verse 25 through 29, "the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he have given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so we see that we all have the same resurrection, and then lastly, we will glorify God. Verse number 15, and I'm going even faster. The Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." I'm just going to quickly tell you what that word redound means. You can put the same word in there to abound, which means to increase. It means to add to. It means to contribute to the glory of God. In other words, you, Christian, contribute to the glory of God by your lives. Okay? The things that we do, we affect others around us. You understand that Steve's passing affects a multitude of people and the circumstances behind it? As a Christian, we affect, and we should be, abounding others to glorify, guess who? God. In other words, we could say it this way, that we should be light, and we should be agents of salt. Us right here. In our good times, and in our bad times. In the great, and then also in the suffering. We see that we will all glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In other words, in whole totality, both the inner man and the external, all of it from top to bottom, from head to toe, should be glorifying God in what we do. How you think, how you act, what you speak, what you do, how well you study for school, how many good grades you get, all of that should be redounding to the glory of, guess who? God. All right, last one. We're going to put it all together. I'm going to give you a 100-question test, and whoever doesn't get it right has to stay here all night and hear the preaching of God's word. The teenagers look at me like, I'm kidding. Okay, letter 5. Man, tough crowd. Letter number 5, the truth of the eternal weight of glory, putting it all together. Notice how Paul starts out in verse number 16. "For which cause we what? Faint not." In other words, all those things I've said up until this point, we don't faint because of those. But now, let me give you some things here, what it does say. It says, "But though our outward man perishes." You know what the outward man is? Anybody? A physical body. Folks, I'm sorry. I didn't write it. It's not my choice. Your outward man is going to perish. There's no choice in the matter. Young folks, you think that day's not coming? I promise you it isn't, unless the Lord comes back in the next few moments, okay? If you live to be old enough, I promise you this, you'll experience the outward man perishing. I was just talking to somebody right before the service. They were laughing at me. They said, "Man, you're just a spring chicken." And I'm like, "Man, it's tough getting old." See? Same kind of laugh. Why is it that so funny? But yeah, the outward man is perishing. Guess what? The Bible says so. Listen, I don't have to just look around and see everybody and feel it in the morning. I know it because the Bible says so. The outward man, guess what? You can just mark it down and expect it. Guess what else? What does it say there? The outward, though the outward man perish, what? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, Paul here is speaking about himself and those Corinthians. He says, the outward man is perishing, but we are renewed inwardly. How often? Day by day. Question, Christian, are you being renewed day by day? It's not a guarantee. There's some things you got to do. The renewing of the mind. Listen, don't expect to be renewed day by day if you're not willing to spend any time in the Word of God, if you're not willing to pray, if you're not willing to come to church, if you're not willing to do what God asks you to do. Don't expect to be renewed day by day, okay? There's certain things that have to take place. It doesn't just automatically happen. You have to do some things. Listen, I got all of this looking in the Word of God, mining it out. And it was great help to me, but it didn't just happen. It didn't just fall into my mind. I had to look at the Scriptures. I had to study the Scriptures. I had to meditate on the Scriptures. I had to pray about the Scriptures. And then you get it. And then guess what? When the troubled times come, we have the ability, through the Holy Spirit of God, to be able to take this Word of God and it's applied to our hearts. And guess what? We can make it through. Praise the Lord, just like Paul. And so here he says, look, it were renewed day by day. Paul is speaking about himself. Is our inward man moved? He says two things about our affliction. First of all, it's light. And number two, it's short. It's light and it's short. Now I'm going to just go ahead and ask this question. Who is the oldest person in the room? Miss Daisy, you win the prize. How old are you, Miss Daisy, if you don't mind me asking? Miss Daisy is 88. Now, Miss Daisy might disagree with me and say, look, it's not short. It's been 88 years. Let me ask you this. Just since the Bible was finished being written, it's a little over 1,950 years. How much is 88 in comparison to 1,950 years? Not a whole lot. All right, let's just double that. Let's say 4,000 years. How much now is 88 in comparison to 4,000? All right, let's triple that. How much is that? 12,000, right? How much is 12,000 in comparison to 88? What about, let's double that, 144,000 years. How much is that in comparison to 88? All right, now let's go to eternity. How much is 88 in comparison to eternity? And by the way, Miss Daisy, I'm not putting you in the grave. You're still living. Praise the Lord and glorifying God. I'm just using an example. Hey, listen, when Paul says it's short, it's short. In comparison to eternity. And by the way, let me just say this. Paul's not making light of your troubles. He's just letting you know that when you get into eternity, that little amount of time is going to really seem short and next to nothing, okay? Just don't seem like it when you're going through it. Now, what's the result of that glory? We see there in that verse there, what is the result of the things that we're dealing with? It says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm not going to ask, I was going to have my wife come up here. She's got this nice thing on her finger called a marriage ring. It's got this little rock on there. It's a diamond, okay? I was going to bring a rock in here and ask her if I could exchange the rock for the rock. And say, you take this one and I'll take the other rock. You think she'd go for that? Here's what Paul's saying. This that we're dealing with right now is like the rock that I found outside. Okay? When we get to heaven, it's going to be way beyond that rock that's on my wife's fingers. It's going to be exceeding. It's going to be exceeding abundantly more. My friend, hang in there. You have no idea. I don't even think we can really understand it until we get there. It's going to be awesome. This is what Paul's saying. Now, how do we apply this? Placing it into action. He explains to us right there. He says, while we look not at the things that are seen. My friend, don't look at everything around you. The temporal. He goes on. He says, but look at the things which are what? Not seen. You know where you find out about those? Right here. Right here. He says, don't look at the things that are temporal. By the way, there'll always be a plethora of temporal things to get you down. You know, it's never ending. He says, no. He says, look. Look on the things which aren't seen with your spiritual eyes, the long view of the eternal. I pray that be a help to you, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll be done.